Welcome back to the Electrify podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo, North America's largest EV festival coming to a major city near you.
And we are live. Electrification Eddie, right? So Eddie Dennison, Eddie's calling from Florida, the land of so many boats and houses, Fort Lauderdale. So I was excited to get kind of your insight because you come from the yachting world. But electrification, when did that switch happen for you? Because normally we're talking about cars, we're talking about, you know, scooters or bikes or electrification in general. When did that switch happen for you? Are you kind of an early adopter, or you saw somebody else do it and then you made the switch? But first of all, thank you so much for joining us here and educating us on electrification on water, which sounds weird, water and electricity. But go ahead.
Well, first, keep in mind, every boat that you see has batteries, whether they're house batteries or, you know, as we get into the electric boats, you know, they are in these, I call them bomb-proof case boxes. They're IP certified. So there hasn't been any disasters, you know, at least other than human error. But yeah, so I grew up in a yachting family. We've been around since 1948. We're very synonymous with the industry, with the city. And a couple of years ago, I got consulted to investigate a little bit into electric boats for a company, and went to Cannes Boat Show a couple of years ago and saw like a little peppering of this and that. Went back last year and it was like 10x. And so ever since then, I've noticed this change. You know, it's not the whole market. It's a little bit of the market. And being a brokerage broker at my brother's firm, I was like, hey, I think this is going to take off. You know, I really see a future. We didn't see eye to eye. He was focusing more on larger boats. And so I basically left and went over to Yacht Sales International, where I'm at now, left the family business to kind of pursue this. You know, I like to say the hybrid electric solution. Because, you know, and we'll get into this later, but fully electric, I think, is we're not there yet. But hybrid electric, which Green Line is the only production company boat in the world that we represent that is doing this, is they're kicking butt and they're doing a great job, and it's got a sick product.
And so, perfect segue. So is Green Line a boat I come into this very unknowing. I live in Southern California, but again, so many boats and yachts and down in San Diego and going offshore and all that. But what is Green Line? Green Line Hybrid, the future of responsible boating. That's their tagline.
Yeah. So basically, they're a Slovenia company. And it's ironic because Dennison, my brother's company, was the first person to represent them. It was a little too early. Udo, my boss now, is the top Green Line dealer that I work for in the world. And what they've done is they have been doing this since 2008. Only production company in the world doing what they're doing. And they offer a hybrid electric version. And what it does is it gets rid of the worst thing that people hate on the boats, the generator. It's constantly, you know, shaking and smelling. So you get rid of that. And basically, they put the electric motors on the shafts. The shafts turn to charge your battery, you know, to make the diesel motors go, the props, they charge the batteries, they have solar coming in. So you don't need a generator at all.
Yeah, I'm looking at, there's a great visual here. There's three different options that I'm looking at right now. Green Line 39, 40, and 45, and a real simple graphic. And that's, boom, you said it, solar panels on the roof. There's a real easy and, you know, it's just a simple, easily digestible. And then you got hybrid mode and then anchor mode. So up to 3 days on anchor, appliances will run via the battery. So anybody looking at different options, this is crazy. So eDrive technology, it's simple. I mean, yeah, so the idea is really easy.
Yeah. And we're on our sixth generation hybrid. So the idea is, you know, when you're at the dock and you're going to go, let's say, to the Bahamas or maybe Catalina Island, you know, if you're in the dock, you can't go very fast. You got bridges, you got wake zones. So why turn on the diesels? Why pollute the water? Why listen to the noise of the engines? You can, as my dad says, float out on the Holy Spirit and you leave. And then once you get to open water or, you know, or speed zones, then once you hit 950, 949 RPMs, technically, you basically kick into diesel mode. So then you can go 24, 26, 28 knots, get to your destination, shut down the motors. You got solar coming in, and then you can run as long as you're not that jack bleep that is like running the air conditioning at 61 degrees, every window's open, you know, the TV's on. If you're responsible, then you can go, you know, almost a weekend without plugging into shore power, and you can use your air conditioning, your TVs, and you're not, you know, killing the environment at the same time.
Yeah, so you would need a slip with the correct power outlet. Like, what does that look like as far as charging? So, or
simple, you can plug into like a single phase 30 amp. You can do superchargers, you know, on that. We had a boat not even plugged in at the boat show, which we have next week for Miami, because we had solar coming in. Now, we were keeping the air conditioning off during the day, on at night, but we went 4 days without having to plug it in at all. So if your batteries get low to like 20%, which is what they say, then either you plug it into your regular pedestal that every dock in the world has, it's just a slower rate, or you kick your engines on, get to about 1,000 RPMs, and then it takes about 30 minutes to charge from 20 to 80%, then you shut it off, and then you can piggyback and get probably 1,200 miles on one tank of gas in one, you know, cycle through.
Yeah, that's I could see this being used on houseboats really, really well. I mean, you know, just like you said, this, the solar, I guess you're running a little bit larger product, but who else is kind of in the room, in the conversation? You know, you talk about outboards like Mercury, you know, they switched over, they're doing car engines, you know, they're out there doing some pretty progressive stuff. Is anybody else kind of striking a fancy with you in this space? Electrification Eddie. So you got to own this, man. You got to know it all, man.
I would say, you know, my first love was always X-Shore, a Swedish company. They were the first ones that I basically noticed and worked with that came out with an all-electric boat, which is really cool because it goes, I think, 0 to 30 or 0 to 35 in like 4 seconds or something, which is like really fast on the water. You know, and maybe a car guy that seems like grandpa slow, but on a boat, like you'll fall off the back. But you got foiling boats like Candela, Vision Marine. You have Frauscher, Faro, you have Alva, who we represent also, that's making a fully electric power catamaran that's like 90 feet by like 40 feet. It's massive. I just saw Silent, I think, might be going out of business, which is good for us, but we'll have the first one next year. But again, it's all about making things simpler, making boats more enjoyable. You know, it's going to be less maintenance that you're going to be spending on fuel change, fuel filters, you know, oil changes, less fuel, less carbon footprint. You know, the whole idea, like your last episode, is, you know, finding the right tool for what you need. And everyone wants, you know, especially the government, wants everything to change instantly overnight. And it's like, no, we need to create a snowball, or as my kids say, a Play-Doh ball. Everyone add to it. And as it gets bigger, we're all going to make some changes. So the idea is, if we have 10,000 boats on the water, and let's just say a portion of them right now are just regular diesel, but you know, in 5-6 years now, maybe 15% are hybrid electric. Just think about that when you leave the docks, how many boats are going to go off on electric? Or if you're only going to spend, you know, 4 or 5 hours or 8 hours on the water, you could go electric all day without ever turning your engines on. And so again, it's just little by little, we're going to help the planet. You're going to look cooler, just like cars. Everyone's a little nervous at first, but now, like you've seen, people are doing crazy things with them. Racing, Formula One, they're doing an offshore power electric boat race. Vision Marine just broke the speed record, I think 135 miles an hour on electric outboards, which I think is going to be a massive future takeover. You know, getting, you know, you're always going to have the guy that wants, you know, 15 motors and all this stuff and, you know, whatnot. But you're going to get to the point where people are going to be more realistic. Hey, I could have 4 motors instead of 2, you know what I mean? But it's going to be quiet. It's going to help the planet, you know, so.
Yeah, you're hitting all the touch points that, you know, I mean, obviously you have a car or a truck, you know, you got a trans. I mean, what a sick scenario. You got your Ford Lightning. You got your, you know, either your X-Shore or your Green Line. These X-Shores are sweet. I love the like Scando kind of design, obviously.
And they use cork. So that whole ground surface is cork that they get from so Portugal, cool, to basically help the environment instead of using teak, because everyone uses teak. It's limited. Yep. You know what I mean? So people are coming up with different ways, you know, for different sustainability projects and materials.
Yeah, inspired by the American electric eel, creature defined by strength and grace. I'm just looking at, you know, the colors. I mean, just aesthetically, this it looks cool, but you wouldn't pull up next to it and be like, you know, outside of it saying 100% electric on the side of it, you wouldn't say that that looks like an electric boat. And just that experience, like you said, you know, either the charger or just the stank smell, you know, here's 100% electric. So is this... Just educate me here. The X-Shore, it's different than the Green Line, because the Green Line is hybrid. is the X-Shore.
The Green Line makes a fully electric or a hybrid version.
Got it.
X-Shore is just electric at the moment. I know some other stuff I can't mention that's going on, but yeah, they're just electric right now. And being in Sweden, everything is 20 miles. So your range, each battery, and they have these massive like 900-pound batteries, and there's two of them. Each of them give you about 50 nautical miles. And that's everything you need in Sweden. You got to remember, you know, it wasn't built for the Americans. So when they come over here, they talk to people like me and some other people like, hey, how do we Americanize this? You know, because let's be honest, the Americans are buying the bigger boats. The Americans are really the buying force. It just sucks that America doesn't make boats anymore. My family was building boats, Trinity, I think Westport and Palmer Johnson are pretty much the only boats manufacturers left that are making yachts. So a lot of these electric boats are like pleasure craft, smallers. You know, this boat, the X-Shore, is great as a tender because everything's on a two-way rail system, which is modular. So you could remove all the decks, the chairs, the tables, or put chairs on there, use it for skiing. You know, wakeboarding, Baltari makes this sick-ass boat that, you know, goes like 75 miles an hour. That's fully electric. You got Candela, also in Sweden, that has foiling electric boats. Wow. Which is like, now you're taking the foiling aspect of efficiency and adding the electric aspect of quietness, you know, so everyone's doing something different. Like you said, with cars, you know, everyone's doing their thing or finding out, hey, how can I better make this for me or what I want to do? Whether like, I think it was Larry Chen talking about going to Pikes Peak or a different race, you're going to need a different tool for a different experience, you know, and are we at the point where I can take my electric boat, all electric, go to the Bahamas and come back? No. You know, could it be done? Yes. Are we there? No. But could I enjoy 8 hours on the water? Yes. But the future, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but the future, what we're doing now is I'm working with Green Line, and we're going to be putting the first there's many of them, but we're going to do an electric jet ski on our electric boat. So now you can charge your jet ski right into your boat. You don't even need to have gas. And those things fly. You're talking 75, 80 miles an hour on some of these, or even faster on these. And it's just quiet.
Yeah.
You know, you're just zipping by. So
that is so cool.
A lot of cool things that you can use.
So you're saying that'll be a Green Line chassis and hull and everything. So it's not, let's call it hot rodding a Sea-Doo or a Yamaha or a jet ski.
No, we're gonna partner up with an electric jet ski company that's already making them. And basically we're working right now on just the engineering of, okay, how are we gonna plug this in? Because on some of the Green Lines, you do have generators for redundancy. Just because you have it doesn't mean you turn it on. But at the same time, the more weight you add, the more power you pull, the less range. So, you know, if you're gonna build a boat with a flybridge, you gotta have a gyro. Because you're adding weight, you know, you need the gyro for stability. But what does that do? That kind of defeats the purpose of some of these things because you're pulling more energy, but it's a necessary evil. You know, if it's not a flybridge, you don't need it then. And then the reason you don't need it is because the batteries help keep the boat have a low center of gravity. So it sits in the water nice, so it won't roll as much, which eliminates the need for a generator, which takes away, obviously, from the efficiency of the boat.
I mean, I'm looking at the Voltari. I love your rattling all these off, but again... this is just food for thought. I'm not a big boat guy. So this is, you know, my buddy had the V-hull. He had a V-hull. We go to Havasu and he has,
a go fast boat, like a cigarette or
not a cigarette, but gosh, what's the damn name of it? V-hull, the fastest one. Fountain. He had a fountain. Reggie Fountain. So yeah, but these are all names that are foreign to me. And like you said, not a lot of boat manufacturers in the States, a lot of Scandinavian going through the fjords and all that. So looking at X-Shore, really, I mean, this is a, you know, let's just call it what it is. If you want a sexy looking electric boat, the Voltari is sick. I mean, it looks
the color scheme
really on time.
Yeah. Yeah. They're great people. They're doing some poker runs. They're doing kind of some more, you know, experimental advertising. There's a company I'm working with out in California by Mavericks that actually did the very first ever jet ski, electric jet ski pull into Mavericks with the surfer.
Really?
So they're getting to the point now where they're working with Red Bull. They have military contracts. So, I mean, they're doing some really cool stuff that I can't really talk about yet, but I am involved with them and we're working with some different boat companies. Because the future, like I said, if you're not... In the next 2 or 3 years, and I've heard this at like boat shows for the last 5 years, and it's all bullcrap, but if you're going to be serious about the future, you got to get a hybrid electric option because people want both. They have range anxiety with just electric. The infrastructure sucks. I'm working with a company now to try to lay infrastructure charging stations, like supercharging stations at strategic restaurants. So you go to the restaurant, have a drink, have some, you know, food, 30 minutes, your boat's charged, you go, everyone goes to that restaurant, they're happy, you know, the company puts it in for free and put it from West Palm Beach to Miami so you can get up and back, you know, in one day if something were to happen, you know? So I think the move there is going to be important, and people need to offer the hybrid. And if something happens, you're late, the weather sucks, you know what? Let's click it, get the hell out of here, put it in diesels and go. And just because you have them doesn't mean you have to use them. But if everyone would do that, just leaving the dock to the ocean would reduce quite a bit and would make the left, the right, the center, whatever, everyone happy, because we're all doing it. We're all enjoying it. And the whole idea is to enjoy it. But the one thing I've noticed is you got to be quiet now, because if you're like talking about somebody, they can hear you on these electric boats, because now, you know, the rumbling and all that stuff's gone. I found out I was making fun of a buddy of mine. He was like, what was that? I was like, holy crap.
So, Eddie, come on, man. You're selling the product, but you're not selling yourself here. You're selling yourself short. Don't talk smack around your friends. You know, right. I mean, you know, as far as like a sexy and attractive boats, the Van Dutch, I mean, you see the aesthetic of that boat. I mean, it's like the Cybertruck boat, like the Van Dutch 75 or 32 even. That would be sick. But that's why I say it's you kind of, boats is a status symbol, right? So but also now, if you talk about power plants, you know, you mentioned a couple of times your kids, you know, talking about Play-Doh ball and all that stuff, but your kids need an ocean to swim in. So take care of it, man, because it sounds like you're touching all the notes of responsibility as far as, you know, taking care of the planet, not reliable on fossil fuels, but you're also saying, hey, there are safety nets in place. Like you said, there is a diesel
engine. On the X Shore, you know, and I'm sure my boss loves me talking about them, but they have a watch, which a lot of our companies, Greenline's working on it now too, where you put safety controls. So if your kid goes out, you can't go faster than 20. If you fall in the water or something happens, it shuts the engines off because you can't hear it. And the best thing is when you're selling these boats, you know, especially like with cars, you know, you'll run in when selling cars, hey man, just highway miles, right? And now, you know, you're able to print everything off the computer. How fast did this guy go? Every speed, was there a sensor? Was there a callback, a recall, an update? You know, you can't lie. You know what I mean? It's going to help. Insurance is going to get, you know, right now a few companies are starting to accept him, you know, because we're selling a lot of green lines, obviously, but it's taking a while for them, because like they're being cautious. Like when Tesla came out, everyone's looking from afar. Once the first people like the Apple goggles, it's like, okay, you know, you got to go through that first generation, you know, to do it. But luckily, Green Line, we're on our sixth generations. We've kinked out a ton of bugs. We put thousands of hours into these boats before they see the public. We just came out with a 58-foot boat. So it's going to be exciting time the next few years when you see a lot of these companies starting to come out with their boats. They're starting to come over. 2 years ago, they were in design stage, because, you know, it seems like Cannes is like the big boat show over there, with Fort Lauderdale being over here. And you see the new technologies. You know, I want to go to Metz over in the Netherlands and see the different things. But you see it from the big boys and it trickles down. They have autonomous hydrogen methane ships, cargo ships now. So everything will work its way down to the smaller boats, but we're getting to the point now where technology is just getting there. Solar is just at its decent point where it makes a difference. You know, the batteries are getting smaller, you know, charging better, faster. You know, we're using less kids to make the products. I joke, it's probably a bad joke. but you know what I mean? And we want to get away from that, obviously. But you know, but the idea is we have this awesome plan, as you can see around me. We want to keep it for our kids and grandkids. And you know, the oceans are important too. We know for what? Less about our oceans than we do our own moon. So the whole idea is let's give it off to the next generation and give them something, you know, like your mom says, when you go somewhere, clean it, make it nicer than when you had it. You know, when you leave the place, make it nicer. So at least we're going in the right direction. You know, it's not going to be solved overnight, but if everyone can chip in, everyone can share technology, work together, you know, we're not trying to take over the world, you know, but, you know, we're trying to take over a market segment that wants this, you know, people want it, the government's forcing it down our throat, you know, so you might as well, join ship or get left behind.
Yeah, no pun intended with the ship thing. I'm looking up the article and just found up, I was intrigued by, you're talking about Mavericks, and this was back in, this is back in 2021, the Maverick GT, the wild new electric jet ski that can surf giant waves. It is a $500,000 project, but it goes 70 miles per hour, converts to a rib. This is a Rob Report article. I mean, the thing looks slick, so it plays the part.
Four people go 85, I think up to 75 or 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
They do a ton of stuff for the military, like with special ops and stuff. So they know exactly what they're doing. It's really cool. We're working with them. Don't say the name, but working with them and a few other boat manufacturers on putting a hybrid electric system into their boat, which I think would be a huge, a step forward.
Yeah.
For some of these other manufacturers that, want to offer something different. Everyone, you have those pods that rotate, the Azipods. People didn't like them because if you hit them and broke off, it was expensive. Maintenance, jet drives is another one, different option besides your shaft and props. So you give people different options. If you're in the Great Lakes, you want IOs. If you're in Florida, you want outboards. You know what I mean? So it different things for different elements, but at least everyone is kind of making something. So no matter where you live, you have an option to do something that is cool and unique. And plus it's nothing better than rolling in on an electric boat and people just looking at you like, engine trouble, huh? Like floating in like, no, everything's on. You know what I mean? Like, no, we're cool. Right. Yeah, we just have a cooler boat than you. So it's more of like, it's getting there. It's just people need to educate. At every boat show, you'd be shocked how many people are like, Green Line. I mean, like they've been around since 2008. So it's like, what do you mean? You've never heard of us? And, is that marketing? Is that just because people aren't interested? But every boat show, it's more and more and more. And it's a certain type of client and they're climate conscious. They want the new iPhone, the new toy. Electric cars, as is awesome. I have a friend that's converting an old VW Beetle and putting the Tesla battery package. I'm like, you have to put like a wheelie bar on that thing or whatever. Like,
yeah, I feel like right.
Just like he's building this whole frame inside, but it's like going to be, I told him I'll never drive with him ever in that thing.
But that, it sounds like a person problem more than a car problem.
Yeah. Like, it's more, wish. Like,
more the guy behind the wheel.
Yeah, but it's like, at least you can do these kind of projects and you're able to do it with solar, with Alva. If you look up Alva, ALVA, they're out in Turkey and, they're doing, since a catamaran has so much exterior space, it's like, Sunreef and Silent doing the similar thing, but it's like, let's put all these solar panels on there. Then we have electric motors. We got a generator, which is like a range booster, and a redundancy. And you have all this square footage of solar and you can run that boat transatlantic probably, as long as it's sunny, and you could store the batteries anywhere you want. You eliminate the need for an engine room. It's more like a battery room, and it's gotten to the point where you can even control and monitor battery cells. So on the Green Line, there's 6 cells to each battery. And if one battery cell goes bad, you can actually replace it for like $500 instead of waiting for it to screw up and fail. And then all of a sudden you got an $18,000 battery replacement. But technology has gotten to the point where it's pretty hands-free. Any fires you've seen are human error, whether they're Chinese components or someone left, something plugged in too long or this. It's not because lithium batteries, oh my God, they're a fire. Everything's in bomb-proof boxes.
That's been proven, as you say. That's user error, man. And the fragility of some manufacturers over others. But if you're gonna build an ice car and oil line breaks and you're spraying oil, that happens again on boats. This brings up an interesting question. I'm looking at those Alvas here, and just again, you've dropped some amazing names here. I would love to obviously plug the ones that you work with more intimately, which is obviously that of was it Green Line, right? So
yeah, Green Line and Alva are
Alva super sick. But I what I think here is, doing this podcast and gaining some knowledge is the car world is a little more apprehensive of kind of making that switch. I think the boating world, because you are one with water, it's a little more organic, right? And the technology has an opportunity to be a little more progressive because of the consumer is looking for slick, efficient experience. Yeah, you don't want something loud. Look at this Alva 90, the Ocean Echo 90. This thing is amazing. It looks so good. So being on that boat, that experience, it is a luxury. But then let's dumb it down even further. The Duffy. You know, I went to Newport, you know, right?
You know, in California.
Yeah, we know. I was down. We did the boat parade in Newport Beach, and we were on the tiki boat, which is loud and proud. It's a double two-story tiki boat. You've seen it. But Anyways, I say that because the Duffies rip around, and you can't see them. You don't know who's behind the wheel, and it's usually, you know, let's not get the Coast Guard involved here. But you know, right. They had a couple libations, and they get in a little trouble there or something like that.
A little road soda, but
there's technology that's been implemented since 1970, right? So mm-hmm. I say all that old school, new school, true school, meaning be true to the game, man, because I think there's a big opportunity with the technology that all these manufacturers, which are primarily not in the States. Why is that?
That's a great question. I feel like Americans, I wish I had an answer. I don't know. I don't know because... We basically started this industry over here. You know, we were building better boats. I mean, obviously you got Lursen and Dom and Amels and FedShip and Heesen, which are the biggest ones in the world. But they're American buyers. But America was building some good boats. You know, I mean, Delta's still up in the Northwest. You know, Trinity was building boats. You know, Broward, my family, we built more boats than anyone, I think, in the 90s in the world. But you know, the luxury tax in 92, you know, I'm a Republican, but damn it, Bush, you know, or yeah, was that Bush, killed us, you know, in 92 when they did the luxury tax, it wiped out the whole marine industry. Luckily COVID, by the grace of God, revamped the whole industry. Although now everyone thinks, you know, they're getting more for their boat than they should be. And you know, now that's a whole other conversation of like, let's calm down people. You know, that was a glitch in the system, which was great. But let's be a little bit more realistic with stuff. But at least, like I said, things are going the right direction. There's more excitement for it. You know, you're going to see a lot more things. You know, America's Cup with the foiling. You know, it's just everything is going in this space technology direction. It's almost crazy to keep up with. But it's exciting every year to see something new, something different. I just hope America gets behind it. I know that, you know, they're trying to bring all these wind farms in and all these other, you know, there's companies even sending their boats to us to Jones Act them, because, you know, for the Jones Act, you know, for going from, I think, from port to port, you have to have an American built ship. So they're sending over their boats to be finished in America, to be Jones Act, to then field, you know,
interesting,
and to the wind farms instead of us making our own boats and doing them. But all, you know, it's all in Washington, D.C., but hopefully, you know, we America will get the desire to start building some bigger boats, some more efficient boats, and, you know, compete with the rest of the world. I think people are ready for that.
Yeah. And it sounds like you've had your finger on the pulse from just being kind of a legacy. You're talking about your family manufacturing boats and all these things. And the progression here, what are you excited about next? It sounds like it's all right there. It's now just
getting the product out there. It's, you know, we have a great product, a Green Line Alba. When we get one, we should be getting it next October.
Which model?
It's gonna blow away everything, you know. Silent, and I know the designer Sunreef is great, but this is just a special product. I think that, you know, Damen makes the pontoons. You know, I mean, they're the biggest commercial shipbuilder in the world with military and commercial in the Netherlands, family operated business. So we got the right people, German engineering, you know, the craftsmanship in Turkey. A lot of people are building in Turkey nowadays. So I'm excited to finally have a good product to display and show. It's what people want, you know. And with Green Line and Alba, you'll notice just because you're getting like a Prius doesn't mean you can't get a Bugatti at the same time. So it's like, just because you have technology doesn't mean you're sacrificing on fit, finish, performance. No, you can have, you know, Green Line, three different colors of interior. You can have different options. So you're not only buying a smarter, more efficient, manageable boat, but it's still just as good as, you know, the Azimuts, the Benettis, and all these other people. You're not sacrificing on fit and finish just because you want to be nicer to Mother Earth.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this Green Line, the 48, I mean, that is a stout boat. And just for anybody out there on the boat market, what's price point compared to something comparable with the traditional setup?
you're looking at, I think the 45, you're looking at about $1.5 million in that kind of range. The 40 is about $900,000. So they're pretty comparably priced. It's a little bit, sometimes they're a little bit more expensive because of the batteries, inverters, the different systems that you get in there, but you will save over the lifetime of the boat the difference, because you're going to be spending less on fuel. You're going to be spending less on different parts, on different maintenance. You know, if you go to the Bahamas for a week and you come back, got to service your generator. You've been running it for 200 hours, been running AC all the time. Who wants to do that? So you eliminate that service that has to get done once a month. You know what I mean? So it might be a little bit expensive at first, but we're pretty comparable in price. It's not like, you know, one boat is 800,000 and ours is 2 million. You know what I mean? Right. But you know, you are going to pay a little bit of a penny. I think the hybrid system alone is close to $1 million on the 58. So, you know, it just depends what you want to do, but they're probably anywhere from 900,000 on the 3940. And I think the 58 is hitting like around 3.5 million, I think, right around there.
Yeah. There
are options you get.
Yeah. And obviously, yeah. And with trim, I mean, it is a luxury item. So you kind of want that whole experience, from the tactile experience of just sitting there. You're kind of like, okay, power plant, whatever, just as long as it runs, you know, you kind of want that peace of mind. What do you think? You talked on it briefly about, you know, I've done some stuff with Sail GP, up in San Francisco, but now this E1 Racing, you know, Steve Aoki's involved. Tom Brady's got a team. I know I announced Nitrocross, and our team that does the production, they do the production for this E1 Racing. Is there something that can be implemented there as far as technology, innovation, or just maybe shedding a little bit of light on EV marine?
I think what they need to do, and one of my buddies, Mason, works with US Sailing, does the Olympic and the Sail GP. The things are, it's so cool.
Yeah,
I love that kind of stuff. But I would say what they need to do is educate the public now what they have, kind of like pepper it, and then get, you know, spring off. It's, people are expecting a very comparable, like Formula, I mean, you know, E and versus Formula One, at least it's not like bicycles and, you know, Corvettes, you know, at least it's comparable. Right now with boats, I would hate to have something, because there's nothing there, in my opinion, where they're contrary. Vision Marine out of Canada, they're the only one that's really going all in on just like fast electric outboards and all that other stuff. But with the technology and everything, you know, I don't know too much about it, but I don't know if that will take off as much as the cars and the regular recreational boating. I hope it does. I'm a big fan. Yeah. I think it'd be really cool. I'm working with someone, you know, interested in starting an offshore powerboat circuit with electric boats.
Really?
Which I think would be really killer. So I'm not opposed to it, but what's the market share on that? You know what I mean? Not being negative Nancy. It's just like, okay, you know, we're having a tough time, not tough time, but a slow time moving these boats along, you know, or educating people, and then to overstep that and go that, you know, to me, it's not something I'm keeping the pulse on, to be honest, but
no, I like you play devil's advocate with yourself, by the way. I got to look, I feel like electrification Eddie's just like, yes, Eddie, what do you say?
Right.
Like, I feel like, exactly. No, and I appreciate that, because you're being honest with the equity that you have seen, you know, I mean, let's be honest. Sail GP, it's wind powered. So, you know, you talk about wind farms, you talk about, I mean, those things are, you know, we weren't allowed to say it when we did the video, but they're Formula One on water, you know, and they're takedown versions of old America's Cup boats. And now look at America's Cup, that technology. I mean, that's just whole design. That's just, I mean, it's,
who's got
more
money?
They're the F1.
Right, right. You know, I always tell my dad, I would love to see those guys race like an old 1850s schooner or something, just to see a true, like, you know what I mean, with the people hanging over the side, you know, instead of just having this rocket ship that's going faster than like some of these go fast boats. It's like insane, you know.
Yep.
it's bad, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's badass. You're gonna say it, it's all right. Yeah. I mean, don't worry, full-on cuss here, it's, you know, it's badass. I've said that in Hot Wheels videos before. So you know, taking a look just at, like I said, the Alvas, anything else like manufacturer wise or anybody else doing some really cool stuff? Like you said, Green Line and Alva, but I like how you're even just rising tide lifts all boats. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean,
I saw your dad joke, by the way. It's going to be electrifying. I saw your post.
You saw that? Okay. I couldn't help it. I'm turning into my dad surprisingly.
Every day.
In some ways is good, in some ways is terrifying. But I would say to look out for more manufacturers getting involved into this. I think at first, you know, they were looking at it like, that's a trend that's going to pass, you know, going. But I think, you know, diesel outboards just took way too long to develop, unfortunately. And, you know, why would you go to diesel when you have an electric one? And, you know, there's four or five manufacturers that out there that, you know, Flux, Vision Marine, Evoy, that are doing electric outboards. And I think that's going to be a huge factor. I think you're going to see more electric jet skis, more electric outboards. I shouldn't say this, but like someone will probably steal my idea, but I don't care. At least I approve of it.
We're putting it on record right now. That's what we're doing, electrification, Eddie.
So what I want to do is I've been talking to some pontoon manufacturers, putting electric outboards on the pontoons. If you're lake locked, like it makes sense. Yes, there are pontoon boats that go like 80 miles an hour or 100, like, but let's be honest, that's not for the average person. But you know what I mean? If you're going to use it once a week, why not have a couple of electric outboards, batteries in there? You know, it just makes so much sense, you know, and we're ready for that. You put a hard top on, you put battery, solar, you put inverter, a couple batteries, even if it's just for your house systems. I mean, it's all about eliminating a little bit at a time. You're not going to make the whole boat this, but you know what? If I could take 10% away and make it electrified, and that's 10% less going in the water or this and that, and times 10,000 boats, that's where you're going to see real change. It's not going to be this, you know, magical battery pack that, you know, Elon invented in his basement. Like we're not going to see that. You know what I mean? Yes, there's going to be steps, but right now work with what you got. Make it efficient, make it friendly, make it easy to use, easy to maintain. You know, X-Shore basically locks their engine rooms because they don't want it open, because when you open, you get water, you get salt water. That's where things go bad. Keep it airtight, keep it shut. And most of the service on these boats can be done through the cloud. So it's not like you have to take your boat in anymore to redo it. It's done over the cloud and they can get into your system. They can track what you're doing. They're not like illegally doing it, but I'm just saying they can monitor everything and see exactly what's going down. Green Line is going to be coming out with somewhere you could start your boat from your house, warn, you know, to get it started. You can dim the lights. You know, there's so much technology that's coming that's going to be used to help that along the way.
And even looking at your, you know, your social media, just I did some research on you and just taking a look at it. You posted up the cigarette super yacht. You know, it's here's Green Line Yachts or Alva. You're saying, hey, let's call it out. And that's, like I said, it's healthy. You're still a boat guy, so you're not just completely denouncing. You like hot rods. You like cool stuff. You're talking about your buddy's, you know, bug being EV. And we're at this tipping point. You know, I mean, I'm 45 years old. It's like we saw cassettes, we saw CDs, we saw them come and go. Now you don't even, it's boom, it's in the cloud, right? Just exists. Yeah. So we're at this cusp of, like you said, you know, looking at your social media, you got your kids, and it bears repeating that, you know, your kids are like, why is it so loud? You know, and they kind of want quiet, you know, especially given, you know, I got a 9-year-old that, you know, went through COVID 6, 7, 8, right? And that changed the whole mindset. I think there's a big opportunity here. Education, information, exciting, because there anybody that drives an EV, drives one, is like, holy cow, now on the water, bro, give me the keys. You know what I'm talking about? That jet ski sounds insane.
It's a huge difference. There's a couple of good jet ski companies. There's one that I'm working with that has the only patented removable battery pack. So when you're done with it, like the formula car, you know, just instead of switch a car, you just pop the battery out, put one in. You know what I mean? And off you go. So you don't have to sit there, wait 30 minutes or buy double the jet skis. It's just like, hey, I'll buy 5 jet skis, 10 batteries, and just cycle them out. I mean, it makes so much sense.
And it's just that conditioning, right? Because, I mean, here, you know, the closest thing, I have friends who have boats, right? And it's obviously, right, the 2 days, the day you buy it, the day you sell it. Jokes. But, But anybody, it's like when you have a truck, you're like, I got a friend with a truck, you know,
right.
I'm the gotta truck guy. Something. Yeah. So my buddy who lives in Long Beach, he's got a slip. He's got a great center drive boat. He goes fishing, him and his boys, and they'll go down to Mexico and stuff. He would be a perfect candidate for, say, right? Would it be a Volterra? Would he be
X-Shore?
X-Shore. He'd be like an X-Shore guy.
Yeah, because and actually, you know, it's funny. It's me and the company that hired me to consult. And when we went over to Sweden, we helped them design a fishing box.
Yeah.
So you can slide it on their rails. Because I told them, I said, Americans want what? Cup holders? Cup holders, loud noise, you know, speakers, rod holders, and lights. Yep. Other than that, we don't give a bleep. That's all we care about. You know what I mean? Yeah. Cup holders. How many cup holders? That's the first question I get asked all the time. How many cup holders? I'm like, life jacket? No, cup holders. Okay. So yeah, I don't know. How many do you need?
That's that conditioning. That is that conditioning, man. But I say that because, you know, instead of, oh, we got to go fill up, you know, because again, his boat's in Long Beach. We go out to Long Beach Grand Prix and we'll just tootle around the islands.
He's paying
there.
But for fuel? Are you the guest?
Holy cow. Boat? But it he'll plug in, right? Dog. It's like a battery tender. You could plug in. It's a battery tender. It's conditioning. Go out. I mean, Catalina's got to have some slips with chargers, you know, and like you said, there's that infrastructure. Makes sense in Florida, obviously, up the coast. You know, go to the Keys, go north, go here, go there.
And when you plug in, I worked with one of the generators, one of the engineers at Exshore, and we calculated to go from like 10 to 80% was $13 on your power bill.
Boom.
On the slow
how much is it to fill up your damn boat right now, man? Holy cow, what's financing
rate? Versus 100 gallons at what, $4 to $6, $7 a gallon? And
do the math.
You know what I mean? And you're doing the same amount per day. Is everyone's going to do what? They're going to go to a restaurant. They're going to go to a sandbar and sit there with your engine running and munning versus being electric. It's all silent. You know what I mean? What? Or, you know, you have a tender tow behind, and we worked with them too to also create, as the propeller gets towed behind, why not use that to charge your batteries?
Wow.
Hello? They never even thought of that. So they're working on that as we speak. So
this is this is so eye opening to me because to be quite honest, I bring in some guests and then Electrify will book guests, and they booked you, and I saw your thing, and I was like, okay, all right, boats. I don't know. We'll see. And I'm not a skeptic by any means, but I don't own a boat. I'm not a big boat guy unless it's my buddy's boat and we're having beers and tootling around, or we're ripping around. Like my buddy, his dad, Cletus McFarland, his dad has an amazing boat, Fin and Tonic, carbon. It's beautiful. He has a couple of them in Florida, but you've absolutely shifted minds here. And anybody that's not even into boats, I hope they're listening to me like, that's awesome.
That's one thing I've noticed is we've had so many people come up and say, I own a Tesla. Never in my life would I ever own a boat until I realized, wait, you know, like on the X-Shore, you literally plug it in like a Tesla. Green Line, you know, you have to plug it into the pedestal. But still, the whole idea is everyone's afraid of a boat. Every time because they get on a boat, something breaks. It just seems like every experience I'm sure you have one too. Friends come out, hey, and the boat breaks down. It's just inevitable. You know, and you're kind of eliminating this so it's more enjoyable, because there's something in our DNA, you know, with cars, horses, water, like exploring. Like when you're on the water, you just feel like you're Magellan, like you're going to find hopefully a square grouper or, you know, maybe, you know, some treasure. But it's just there's something in our DNA that screams adventure and, you know, maybe I'm going to survive. Maybe I'm not, you know, but.
Well, it's a little exciting. Granola. It's a little granola being on the water. You know, I always joke that if you order Jason Momoa on Wish, you get me. My name's Jared Mimosa. And I'm in that movie, Aquaman. But that's my bad dad joke. It's my rip on me. But it feels a little granola. You're taking care of the ocean. Like you said, leave it better than you found it. We're stewards of this planet. People that are on the water, I hope they take care of it. And obviously, it does get abused. You know, you go to Havasu, it's a party. But I could see one of these boats being fire at a lake or in the ocean, man. And I think it's really cool. And I love the branding of what you're doing, and the equity you have, I think really feeds into, you know, here's your kind of legacy from your dad, from your brother, and you educating yourself with the internal combustion engines and diesel, and now converting into this. It's a beautiful story. It sounds like a love story that you love the ocean, you love the boats, you love the craft, but what does this look like progression wise? And I think you're doing a good job. Electrification Eddie, baby. You changed me, dude. Like I'm in.
We're selling depreciating useless assets that no one needs. Let's just be blunt. You know what I mean? Yes, they are memories, but no one needs a boat. You know what I mean? No one, just like no one needs a third car or like a Corvette or something in their car. But you know what? We work our ass off so we can have these fun things. And some of my greatest memories are on the water. And obviously I was lucky enough to have being in the family that I was born. But if you know, you're an Andretti, I'm sure your view on cars and car racing is a little bit different than the average person. So I was able to have that behind the scenes growing up. Like the shipyard was my playground. You know what I mean? Which probably wasn't the best sometimes, but at the most part, shaped my brother and I. I mean, my brother has, you know, just sold one of the largest yachting brokerage firms in the world. And my dad gave him the business in 2001. And when the internet was just coming about, my brother was like, I got this idea. You hear it's like horse, you know, like when the cars were coming to New York.
Kennedy?
And my dad's like, horses, son. Cars are stupid. So my brother's like, I think this internet thing is like going to catch on. My dad's like, you're an idiot. Like, no, people are going to want to touch the boat and all this stuff. Next thing you know, my brother is as the largest in the world. I mean, it's amazing. And he hit it and invented internet marketing. So I look at it as I'm the only Denison that hasn't like put their thumbprint on the industry, so to speak, with my grandfather, my dad, my brother, my uncles. So it's like I see a path and I'm like, this, I see a future in this, and I'd love to be known in 20 years as one of the people to help bring this industry, you know, to the forefront. Not say like, whoa, without me, but it would just be nice to be associated with like, hey, I saw this coming. I jumped on and I see us moving in that direction, whether we like to or not. Government's going to force us. So
yeah,
might as well get ahead of the game.
Yeah, you bring up so many points of your journey, you know, both personal and professional, as far as the boat world, the boat space, what you got going on. And like I said, anybody listening to this who's involved with EV might have been skeptical or like, how did they come across this? I think you're talking to consumers and you're talking to people, like you said, that are early adopters that are in EV that would never, I love it, man. So thank you so much for your time. Well, anything else you kind of want to plug? Where can they find out more information? You know, where, you what's your dealership or what do you got?
You can go to yachtsalesinternational.com. You can look up Eddie Denison. We're actually having a party next Thursday at our Fort Lauderdale office during the Miami Boat Show. We got Lucid and my boss going to kill me. What is it? Rivian. Yes.
Rivian. Which, you know what? I like that you didn't know the manufacturer's name. No, it's fine.
I can spell it.
Rivian. Yep, you got it.
My boss is probably like, God damn, you know.
No,
they're going to be there. We got the street blocked off. We got all the green lines, food. So if you're interested, do I get my phone number? Or you know, Eddie at yachtsalesinternational.com. Eddy at yachtsalesinternational.com. I'll get you some boat show tickets, get you tours, food, get you drunk, get you on some boats. I'll tell you, my boss bought a Lucid, and I've been in a Tesla. And he put me in a Lucid, and you know, the Tesla, you know, you get that thing, but the Lucid was like, whoa, like it was weird. It was good. A different experience. And you know, nothing against Tesla, but I think Lucid's a better product, and it's like, it was a nicer car, but it was definitely faster in my opinion. I could be wrong, but
maybe touches on, again, the consumer, and you quoted myself and Larry Chen Matt Farah, all these certain cats, but whatever your boat is. Okay. So Alva Yachts, right? You got X-Shore, Duffy, right? What are you trying to accomplish here? The Voltari.
You want to go fast and ski? Do you want to go see the whales in Alaska? Do you want to go to the sandbar? Do you want to go just beat the hell out of the ocean and go fast as you want? You know, there's a boat out there, you know, and if not, if you got enough money, we can build one for you.
I got a guy. His name's Electrification Eddie, baby. Eddy. Don't you forget it. Why? Because we like you. Eddie, thank you so much for joining us here. Some great insight. Very honest, very transparent. And again, I'll be down there in Fort Lauderdale. We're going to go out on one of these green lines and just pick it.
Yeah.
How many cup holders do you have, though?
Or if you want, we can go on the Voltari. I know them too.
Ooh,
if you want to go fast, there's nothing wrong. You know, the green line's more slow and luxury, but if you want to go fast, we can get on an X-Shore or a Voltari. We set up a race with them two boat shows ago just to have fun. They went out there and kicked their ass. So
we can play Yacht Rock on either. And I'm totally cool because I'm into some Yacht Rock. So that's all good. Thank you so much. Electrification Eddie. This is another episode of Electrify Expo. And obviously, I want to see some of these boats at Electrify Expo. Thank you so much, Electrification Eddie.
Thanks for listening to the Electrify podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo. Be sure to catch full video episodes on YouTube at Electrify TV and follow along on social media for daily clips and more.